Como belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto, belle faste già, sotto celle de Roma.
Welcome to Italian American Life with Frankie D, the very first Italian American podcast, and we are at ItalianAmericanLife.com. My guest today is a very interesting guest. Her name is Caroline Chirichella, and she has a public relations agency which helps Italian-focused businesses gain exposure in the American market. And also, she is an Italian-American that has been living in Italy for many, many years. So I can't wait to hear her story. Caroline, welcome to the show, and thank you for being here.
Hi, Frankie. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
You have one of those extremely unique stories. I mean, you don't come across every day Italian-Americans that move to Italy, stay in Italy, live in Italy. You're raising your children in Italy. So before we get into your business, tell me about this incredible upbringing, how you came to go to Italy, and how things are.
Well, okay. So I am Italian-American, but my story is also a little different in that I did not grow up with the stereotypical huge Italian family. That is not actually how I was exposed to being Italian-American. I was raised in a very small family. It was my mom, dad, my brother, and my grandmother, my maternal grandmother. And it was through my maternal grandmother and my mom, who are both Italian, that I was basically exposed to the memories that they shared with me about my mom's childhood and my grandmother's childhood growing up, about being surrounded by this big Italian family that unfortunately I never had the pleasure of knowing. By this point, most of them had passed on, but through different zias and zios and cugini and so many people part of that family that, again, I came to know about through memories that my grandmother told me, my mom told me, and through photos. So I embraced that from a very young age and immediately felt connected to it, even just through these words, through these photos, and obviously through food. My grandmother would make some of my favorite recipes that she shared with my mom when she was little. And so it is different in that sense because I didn't have that huge exposure to big, loud Italian families growing up, you know?
And where did you grow up, and was that an Italian-American area?
Well, I grew up in New York City. And my grandma was from Williamsburg, Brooklyn, which is where she raised my mom. And there was a big Italian enclave in Williamsburg, especially when my mom grew up more. And so being in New York City, there's plenty of Italian Americans, obviously. So that probably helped in, you know, just that feeling of being exposed to Italian American life and that everything that that means with being an Italian American. And it was just something I felt in my bones from such a young age, probably, of course, due to the love it was from my whole family and my mom and my late grandmother, who just instilled in me how proud they were to be Italians, how much love there was. And it was different times growing up in the 50s when my mom was growing up in Brooklyn, and just to have that love and just to be a part of that type of big, happy family. It was so evident in their memories. Even now, I mean, I'm 36. When my mom talks about her mother and growing up in Brooklyn with all her big Italian family, she'll get tears in her eyes, and so will I. And that's because of the memories. And so even though I never knew most of these people, unfortunately, and was just exposed to them through memories from my mom and my grandma, it became a part of my life. And so even from a young age, being Italian just became something that I felt so much in my heart, and it's just stayed with me forever since. And, you know, I moved to Italy. I married an Italian kids. And
wow. What a nice story. I got to be honest. I'm getting goosebumps about it. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
It's beautiful. And like, I don't know. I think we hear so much. Everybody complains. Everybody's upset. And it's nice and refreshing to hear like a really good story, a really good memory, a really good upbringing. That's wonderful. It really is. That's touching. It's beautiful. Where is mom and your nonna? Where are they from in Italy?
Well, my Nona was born actually in the United States, and it was her father that came over from Salerno, from a small town called Sala Consalina in the mountains, actually, when he was 9 years old. And funny story, actually, about how we were able to then trace back where he was from. When my mom started looking into our citizenship path through my grandfather, he luckily had always spoken about the town he grew up in and how much he loved it. But because obviously he spoke with a bit of an accent and there was dialect, the town itself is called Sala Consalina, but he always pronounced it as Sala Gonzalina. Gonzalina. So for a while, when my mom tried to locate the name of this town, she couldn't find it because of how he pronounced it. But then through some work, we managed to find it. But most of our family was from Salerno. And my mom grew up in Brooklyn. But again, it's one of those things that even though it was my great grandfather that came from Italy, so that, you know, my mom was second generation Italian, it came so naturally to me to feel completely Italian, even though being raised in America, we raised in New York, it just has always been such a huge part of my life.
And you know what? It's awesome when anybody is proud and they feel that. But I think with your case, it's doubly awesome because you were for the right reasons. You know, it wasn't just for a superficial, I don't know, stereotypical things that we have so apparent today, but we won't get
Right.
into that. So take me back now. So you're this Italian American girl in New York City. When and how does one, how do you decide I'm going to move to Italy? That's a big step.
Well, it was a lot of back and forth. So I have a background actually as a professional opera singer. That was my first calling and everything. And I first went to Italy when I was 21 years old, when I was invited to sing in an opera festival in Ischia. And this is going to sound I am afraid of flying, and I was really scared to fly there, even though in the back of my head, I knew I had to get to Italy. I had to get to the land where my family came from. And I was invited to this festival. I thought, oh, how can I say no to this? But I was really nervous about going because I was scared to fly. But I did it. I ripped off the band-aid and I flew. And being in Italy this first time, it's like it opened up my eyes to a whole new world. I knew what it meant to be Italian American, but being there, getting off the plane and being exposed to the culture and hearing the language and seeing the people, it was life-changing for me. It was life-changing. And then it's a very long story, so I'll try to then I went back and forth to Italy a few times from that experience when I was doing some work. I went to culinary school 1 year in Florence. And then in 2024, I finally realized I don't want to live in New York anymore. I want to live in Italy. That is where I am at home. That is where I feel my best. That is where I feel my safest. That is just where I'm at my best, quite frankly. And long story short, I came and I live in this really small town called Guardia San Framondi that I came to learn about through, oddly enough, an episode of House Hunters International. I was originally planning on moving to Florence because I had been there multiple times, had some connections there. But I added visiting Guardia San Framondi on a trip. When I then went to Florence, I realized, you know what? I want to do something that's completely different than what I'm used to. And as beautiful as Florence is, it's still a city. There's a big American population there. There's lots of students. And I thought, this is not the Italy that I want to live in. I want to live in what is really Italy, essentially. So I came to live in this town, which is a small, small town. But what I love about it is a real community here. Everybody knows one another. Everybody looks out for each other. Everybody knows each other's names and your kids' names. And it's a beautiful place to live. So for me, having gone from not being exposed to that big Italian family and living in an Italian community where everybody looks out for one another, it's what I always wanted.
Now you said, and I think you made a mistake. You said 2024. You didn't move to Italy in
I'm
20.
sorry.
You meant
I'm sorry. When
January.
I was 24, yes, you are correct, Frank. Yes. When I was actually, no, wait a minute. Yeah, when I was 24, I officially moved to Italy. And when I was 21, it was the first time I went to. This is what I mean. There has been so much back and forth since the first time I went to Italy, and then all my exploring trips to discover, even sometimes I get confused myself.
And you, so you've been in Italy, I'm assuming roughly 14 years living there, full
Yeah.
time, mind you, now, right?
Well, full time around 10 years. The first 4 years I was a little back and forth, basically doing some work and such. But basically, yeah, a little over 10 years that I've been here full time.
And since you have married children,
Yes, I have married an Italian man. I have two beautiful babies. I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 16-month-old son. I work here. I live here. It's just, it's,
that's great. That's
yeah.
incredible. I'm assuming the kids probably speak English as well, so they're bilingual.
They are bilingual. I mean, my son is 16 months old, so his biggest words are mama and baba. But yeah, my daughter is 6. She's fully bilingual. And it's amazing at 6 years old to see how flexible children are because she speaks back and forth to me in English, and then my husband in Italian, in school, obviously Italian. And it's wonderful to see that she has that opportunity to be
Oh,
exposed to the two languages so naturally.
that's great. No, that's the best time too when they're young like that, because
Yeah,
they're exposed to them for a
absolutely.
lifetime. Real quick, you were telling me that story, and I was like, I was telling you my story when you said about going there at 21, because I went at 19.
Oh, wow.
Growing up in a really heavily populated Italian American area in Chicago, and like everybody we knew was the first time I realized I was not Italian was when I went to Italy. Because when I got there to
Right.
Rome, I was just like, I'm like you. I was blown away. It changed my life. But it was like a whole thing where, like, wow, I'm actually not Italian. But I knew I wasn't just, American, even though I had an American passport, I'm an Italian American.
Right.
That's like a whole new thing. Because prior to that, we never t said Italian American. When I was a little
Right.
kid, people say, what are you? We would say Italian. Everybody
Italian.
talked like that. I think this whole Italian American thing came a little later. But anyways, yeah, it blew me away. I was everything about it. I agree with you. Everything, the people, the language, the architecture, the everything. It was incredible, life-changing, which is why I'm a huge, huge proponent of sending Italian American, 20, 25-year-olds to Italy for their first trip, an organized thing, because it has such an effect on you, ethnically speaking. It really, really, it's like getting your Italian ethnicity on steroids if you just go to Italy for 2 weeks. So
Exactly. I hear you. It was exactly the same for me. I was in Rome before I then went to Ischia the first time, and just being there, it was almost like an outer body experience because it was like nothing I had ever experienced before. And I knew on that first trip, it's funny because I went with my mom who came with me on that first trip. And I said to my mom, I said, I have to get back here. I have to make sure I
Was
get
she
here.
all for
And I
you
did.
for that?
I'm sorry.
Was she
Yes,
all
yes.
for
Oh,
you?
yeah.
Yeah.
My parents live in Italy now. My parents
Oh,
live here now.
you.
They've since moved from New York.
Same
I have my
town
whole
as you?
family here.
Oh, so you're
Same
all
town as
super
me.
close.
Oh yeah.
That's
We're
wonderful.
very close.
You
We're a
got it
very
all
close
going
family.
on. That's great. That's
Yeah.
fantastic. Wow. That's an incredible story. And I'm going to hold you to one thing. If I ever, and it's my dream, and you need the money, but if I can ever get the money guy to back organized trips to Italy for our young people, as the Jewish people do, it's called
Yeah, you're
Birthright
right.
Israel, and I've explored it very much. And I don't know why we don't, but if I ever do, I need you to be like a spokesperson, because I need you to tell that story, because that's the kind of story that says, this works. This works. And I'm not saying everyone's going to move to Italy at all, but when they come back to America, they're going to
Yeah.
be more knowledgeable. They're going to be more into it, and they're going to explore more, and they're going to be better Italian Americans.
I completely agree with you, Frank, and I think that's a great idea because it's a shame also. I feel young people these days lose sight maybe of where their families came from, and actually getting to the place where they came from is a great way to open their eyes and really cement This is where you came from. Look around, look at it, hear the different language, see what the people look like, experience something different. And actually being there is just a different story.
Most definitely, yes. Okay, so now you're living in Italy, you got a family, you got kids, but you want to own a business too. You want to run a
Yeah,
business.
because
So tell me about your business.
Well, my business is Chiricahua Associates. It's a public relations agency that I co-founded with my father, who is a PR executive, 30 years experience. I basically grew up around public relations, but it was never anything that I figured I would get into, quite frankly. I was training to be an opera singer, and then I wanted to be a chef. And then when I came over to Italy, it kind of one thing led to another when I got back to writing, which is something that I do as well. I'm a writer. And it kind of happened naturally because at the time, around 4 years ago, I had a friend that wanted to reach out to my dad for some public relations. I sat in on the call. He was too booked with clients. And I said, hey, you know what? I've been around public relations enough. I write for myself and I'm constantly pitching my own work. And I pitched myself from opera. And when I had a catering business, I think I could do this. And now I've since opened my own agency, and with a focus on female run businesses and Italian focused businesses that are looking to gain exposure into the American market. Because basically PR is about telling a story. And you know, when I have clients come to me and they have a business, I, especially with the background in the opera world, I know what it's like to want to be in the spotlight. I know what it's like to want to receive recognition for my hard work. And that's one of the things I love about public relations is that now I get the opportunity to help my clients with that. And since over the past few years, I've worked with a lot of Italian businesses, a lot of Italian clients. That became a second kind of natural fit that I would work more with Italian businesses and clients that are looking to be exposed in the American media market, you know?
I would think that there's, I can't think that there's many PR agencies doing this kind of work. So I would think you'd be kind of unique in that sense.
Well, specifically working for Italian businesses, PR, no. There are obviously Italian trade associations, Italian tourism, but specifically with that focus, no. Especially I speak Italian and English. So it is a good go-between for my clients who, when I'm working with Italian clients, the funny thing is sometimes they are not as familiar with what public relations is. And that is why they come to me. They say, oh, you know what? We have this business and we'd like to have it exposed, you know, whether it's through an article in Forbes or a podcast, and so that we can get more clients. And I sometimes have to walk them through what the process of public relations is. But by having somebody that is Italian and American, that speaks the language, because a lot of my clients speak Italian, but they want to get that introduction into the world of American media. So it's kind of the best of both worlds for me when I'm working specifically with Italian clients or clients that have Italian focused businesses.
I would think, just my logic, that you would be quite appealing to them because you are American and you do speak English perfectly. You're not an Italian that learned English. You're not an Italian that maybe has a cousin in America. You live in America. You're American. And I would think that if I was looking for somebody to promote my business in America, I would definitely want to go to someone like
this. Well, thank you for that. It's for me, basically the best of both worlds, because again, I speak English, obviously, but I speak Italian. I know what the American market is more than obviously some Italian businesses do, so that when they're not exactly sure of what the path is to get there, obviously my background is PR. That is how I help them again. And PR is, you know, it's so much more complicated than what people view public relations is. Sometimes it's viewed as a glamorous kind of lifestyle, thanks to, you know, Sex and the City and Samantha Jones. And it is so much more than that. There has to be a tactical approach and there has to be real objectives and media strategies and research that really goes into figuring out what is best for the client. And again, for me, what it always comes back to is a story. When a business or a single client comes to me and they want to, you know, get their story out there, I always tell my clients, we need a hook. And a hook is obviously what gets somebody's interest. And again, even, I mean, I've worked with influencers, actresses, real estate experts, authors, parenting experts. I've worked with a whole range of clients, but it's the past few years that I've tried to focus more on the Italian aspect. And that is also for me, because I am so passionate about my heritage, that when there are Italian businesses that are based in Italy, but they want to do more and they want to be, they want to have a presence in America as well, it gives me such joy to help them achieve that.
Now, do you also have clients that's the reversal? That's an American company that wants exposure in Italy?
Not yet. Not yet. That I'd be open to as well. I mean, I've worked, like, there's something to me about wanting to get the Italian businesses in America, that because that's, for a lot of Italian businesses, the whole idea of the American dream, getting exposed in America, being published in a place like Forbes or Business Insider or the New York Times. There's such weight to that for a lot of businesses. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I understand. I get where you're going, but I would also think you would be attractive to an American business because of the fact that, once again, now you're an American, but you're Italian, you speak Italian, and you're...
Well, that's maybe something I should consider too.
I really do. I gotta be honest. I think you're cutting this in half here. I see.
I really appreciate it. I think that's something I'm going to explore now.
Why? It just come to my mind. I'm thinking, well, boy, she would be the same role in the reversal.
Yeah, exactly.
And God knows that there's a lot of American money that is spent in Italy, and a lot of American companies in Italy. And I'm amazed at one thing, that how many American words, American English, because it's not English, American English words that are part of the everyday vocabulary and language in Italy. It blows my mind.
Yes, it's funny, because just the other day, I forgot, it might have been my mom that asked me to translate a word. I have to admit, I can't remember what it was. And I said, you know, there are some words that they just don't translate into Italian. They just keep them as English. So, like, for example, when you go grocery shopping, it's fare la spesa. But when you're talking shopping, like, I'm going to go to the mall and do shopping, they'll just say, oh, andiamo a fare la shopping.
Oh, la
so
shopping.
They'll just say shopping. And then gossip. Gossip is another word that there's not really a translation exactly for gossip, that sometimes I'll hear people speaking in Italian, and then they'll just say the word gossip.
I think there's
so that
a few, yes. And it wasn't like that. I went to Italy often years ago. I had a 25-year hiatus, and then at 23, I went for like a week. So being not much, but on, I think it's Instagram, I follow this Italian woman, and she only speaks in Italian, and she's like giving life advice, and she has some kind of business. And how many words are thrown out there? And this is a woman who doesn't speak English, but there are just so many words that have become part of the Italian vocabulary.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. And it can sometimes be confusing because Italian is a hard language to pick up. So when you are listening to a conversation and there's what sounds like an English word in the middle there, you're like, what happened here? Where did that come from? But it is funny how certain words just have not, they've just kept them in English.
It really is. But I think it's that influence. And, you know, there is a ton of commercial trade with America. And it seems like relations are going quite well. They might even get better with
fingers crossed. Yes.
And I know that post COVID, I think the tourism was record setting through the charts. And I mean, a lot of that is from America. So they're definitely is. And now they're also starting this thing called Italia. And had somebody come from Italy and pitch it here in Chicago. And it's a whole thing about finding your roots. And they want these small towns, probably more in Southern Italy, to kind of like the government's going to work with them. They have incentives for the descendants to come there. Like
Oh, wow.
Or things like it could be major. It could be really major, major, because I've always said it, every Italian American should visit Italy once in their life. And so many want to, you know what I mean? They're finding their roots. So that's a whole big thing now, that, you know, it's more possible now. You know, in 1960, people didn't travel as much. They didn't, I don't want to say they didn't have as much money, but they just didn't live as much. There wasn't the internet to show you what you're missing. I feel
exactly.
Everybody wants it all. They're hungry 24 hours a day. It's a different world. So
there's, I know what you mean, because now the world we live in now is that they're you're exposed to so much. So you have more of an opportunity to see what else is out there, as opposed to back in the 60s or 70s, where you could just hear about it, but you didn't have physical proof of it.
Caroline,
and now
it's the 80s, when I went to Italy the first time, 1986, no internet. I wasn't looking up Google Maps. I wasn't seeing it.
Weren't checking TripAdvisor.
I saw Italy in a movie. I saw Italy in a magazine. That's it. That's it. That's a big difference. You know, nowadays we experience kind of everything. Everything's at our disposal.
Yeah.
Social media is, and it really is a different world. But
it is. It is.
I gave you a great idea for to double the business. Okay.
I love that idea, Frank. I'm serious.
I'm totally serious. I mean, just as I'm nothing.
You make a good point. You make a good point.
I'm insane.
You know, I'm so focused on being here in Italy and, you know, getting the people on the other side. But, you know, it's a really good point about, you know, as you said, so many people also invest in Italy in one way or another. So why not? I'm going to start planning that.
Because if I'm an American company, business, I don't speak Italian. I don't know how to go about this, but now you come into play. So,
you know,
you're on your way. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to.
Okay. And now I'm going to say something. So that really, really wealthy person I was searching for earlier to help me start this program to send these Italian American kids to visit Italy, that may be you coming down in the near future after you do this double the business thing.
Hey, you know what? That is such a great project, and it's such a great heritage and cultural project that I think also Italy needs more of that, because, you know,
it's a win-win.
It is. You know, we have to get more people here for the right reasons. Because not to veer the conversation, but mass tourism has become such a problem. And I feel in recent years, even as you said, post-COVID, especially when travel opened up and people were so excited to get out and about, and obviously Italy, everybody wants to go to Italy. But I feel that in recent years, coming to Italy can sometimes just be checking something off somebody's bucket list, as opposed to really being here for the right reasons. And I'm not saying that's the case about everybody. But I just feel some people come, they take a picture of a selfie in front of the Colosseum, and they go get gelato, and that's it to them. And there's so much more to Italy than that.
And
there's so much more.
What you just said, and you're 100% correct. I'm getting older in this world, and my children are in their mid-20s, and I feel like their generation is very into traveling thousands of miles to take a picture.
You're right.
It's
I agree with you.
It's important to them, that picture that they can post. And it's sad, but it's...
I agree with you.
Yes.
To be honest, I hate to say how many times when I live here. And I'm very lucky. I travel around Italy, especially because of my work with clients. And sometimes I have seen tourists taking selfies in front of the David or the Duomo or the Colosseum. And literally, there's no respect for what they're doing. They're taking... half the time, even inappropriate selfies. And I really want to say, do you know where you are? Do you know the history of this place? And what you're doing is disrespectful, and it's an insult. And of course I don't. But that's why the idea of these heritage tours, getting people here for the right reasons to explore their culture, where their ancestors came from, that is a great idea, Frank. It's a great idea. And it would also be a great way to also turn around what tourism has become in Italy.
Very good point. Very good point. And the last thing I'll say about what you just said, the word respect, in my opinion, does not exist anymore in this world. But and it's an important, very important word.
Frank, that I feel we could have a whole other conversation with, to be honest. Because, you know, I was raised to be respectful, and I want so badly that my children are decent, well-behaved human beings. And, you know, back to like what we said about different generations, obviously, these days, quite frankly, social media, more exposure. You know, things have changed and technology is amazing, but sometimes I don't feel that it has opened up the best possibilities and the best opportunities, especially when we're coming talking about, you know, creating opportunities for the future. I feel like it's made things a little more complicated.
It
And
definitely
I'll leave it at that.
yes. Caroline, so if somebody wants to get a hold of you in Italy or in America, and they have a business and they just heard this and they said, I need this woman, how do they find you?
Okay, well, I am very old school. I don't have a website. I go through word of mouth and referrals. But if people want to find me, they can look me up on Caroline Chirichella on LinkedIn. And they can find me on Caroline Chirichella PR on Instagram as well. So I keep things really simple. I believe in, you know, the whole idea of word of mouth referrals, you know, and so that's if they want to find me, they can find me on LinkedIn.
And obviously you're doing okay with that, so that means you're
I
growing.
am. It's going well. So I'm gonna keep it at my old school manners with, you know, the whole no website thing for now.
I respect that.
Well, thank you, Frank.
Caroline, this has been a pleasure. I wish I could bottle your love, enthusiasm, and your heart and your soul and come up with this Italian American bottle that I could j give out to all the people in America, because it's outstanding. It's incredible. I wish it was contagious. I hope it's contagious, because I could see it in you. I could hear it in you, and it's fantastic. And best of luck to you and your family, the business, and all that you are doing. Keep it up, because you are a great ambassador of our Italian Americans. You are a tremendous ambassador. I love to interview someone like you with that's living it, took it to the extent you could. That's why I look at it, but is doing it in such a great way. And like I said, you're genuine, you're sincere, you're real. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Frank. It's been amazing talking with you, and I'm very happy that how my love for Italy, how clear it is to you. It makes me very happy.
Thank you. Thank you. You have a wonderful day. Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Frank.